Kat, here's one for you. It's on genetics.
Okay.
Jan, or Jan, not sure which of the two, would like to know what determines whether a gene is recessive or dominant, and what do those two terms mean?
So this is a really great question, because quite often when we learn about genetics in school, we learn about the idea that there are dominant genes and there are recessive genes. But actually, in real life, it's very, very complicated. And lots of us learn about genetics through things like Mendel's pea plants. So you have red flowers or purple flowers and white flowers. And if you cross a red plant with a white plant, you tend to get red plants because the red gene is dominant. And that's because the red version of the pigment gene is making a pigment. It's the red pigment that colours the flowers. And the white version of the gene is actually broken. It's not making any pigment. So as soon as you have a working gene that makes pigment, the red one, it will be dominant.
So it's like a blank canvas. The white one
exactly.
gives you a blank canvas. The red is flicking paint at the canvas.
Exactly. So usually like a recessive gene or a recessive version of a gene is one that's not working or not working properly or not working very well. But actually, you know, I've been doing a lot of research lately, talking to a lot of geneticists, and it's a very oversimplified concept, this idea of dominant and recessive. And you can see it when you look at things like hair colour or eye colour in your family. You might think, oh, well, this colour should be dominant over that. But it's a bit more complicated than that. So yes, there are some traits where if you're making, if a gene is active and making something like a pigment or a molecule, or even making a faulty and overactive molecule, then that will be dominant. And if something's recessive, then it is not making something very well. But yeah, actually, there's lots and lots of genes contributing to lots of traits, things like height, intelligence, even many, many diseases. So the idea of something being very simply dominant or very simply recessive is not a helpful idea for many, many traits and diseases.
The definition I saw when I had my first genetics textbook was that a recessive gene is one which is clinically manifest only in the homozygous state. Let's put that into plain English. You need to have two copies of that gene present in order to see its effect, because if there's another gene there that isn't recessive, it will sort of trump the genetic one and you'll see the manifestation of that gene.
Exactly. Usually a recessive gene is something that's not working properly. So a great example is cystic fibrosis. If someone inherits two faulty copies of a gene called CFTR, then it means they don't make this molecule that shuttles salt in and out of their cells, in their lungs, in their guts, and so they have all these problems. But actually, what's really interesting is that now we're starting to look at more and more people's genomes, do more and more genetic sequencing. We're discovering that lots of people are walking around with two copies of broken genes, for want of a better word, but they're okay. So really, this concept of dominant and recessive, I think we need to really rethink it the more we discover about our genomes.